Well, it's that particular time, 17 minutes after 9 o'clock, we have our guests, yes, and we do have John and Jesse. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
What makes it so great?
Well, because the Bible is still true,
mm-hmm.
God's still there.
Mm. Okay. Tell me, it's a long way. It's a really, really long way from home.
Yeah, very long from the States. But Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay. Right, so a guy comes to you and says, you know what, you guys, you're going to Uganda. What was your reaction?
Well, we were already planning to come to Africa for some time because we came and visited Malawi 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we got a vision for reaching all of sub-Saharan Africa with the gospel. And so then some time later, about a few months ago, a man approached us with the opportunity to come and help him preach the gospel here in Uganda. And so we came about a few months ago in June, and we've been here ever since.
What did you expect to find?
We expected to find what Jesus said we would. He said, the field is wide unto harvest. Go ye therefore.
So listen, let me just put it this way. There's a lot of God down here in Africa, Uganda to be exact. Because someone once told me, because we have a really poor setting, if you can say that, you find that everyone needs God in every we need God in every inch of our lives. You guys don't in the US. The reason why I say this is that a lot of people think once you have it all, you sort of cut God out of the equation. And I'm saying you guys do not have God, but that's a wider assumption. And why Uganda?
Well, the reason for Africa is because Africa is so receptive unto the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're so ready to hear the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that if we came here to Africa, we would find many people who are ready and to listen. Like Paul saw that vision of the Macedonian man.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw some sense of vision of the Ugandan man coming and preaching the gospel. And then come and help us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying come and help us because although there's so many religions in this world,
mm-hmm.
many of them are false religions. And even in Christianity, the majority of people who name the name of Christ are not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Because the majority of religions, and even in Christianity, are trusting in their own works to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They think they have to be good, stop sinning, go to church to go to heaven. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So you see, the Bible says all we have to go to heaven is just to believe on Jesus. And so Jesus said that the majority of the world actually goes to hell. He said, strive to enter at the straight gate. He said, broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be which go under wrath. But narrow is the way, straight is the gate that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And it's not because it's hard to go to heaven. That's the big deception today. People think going to heaven is really hard. You got to try to stop sinning, try to go to church, try to praise God, try to be good. But the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
That's true.
And although all the world religions teach salvation is like a reward, you got to earn it and work for it. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And going to heaven is not a reward you work for or do good things to get. It's a gift you receive just by the grace of God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you mentioned the difference between, maybe rich people, say, or the majority of people in America who are, by the world standard, very rich.
Yeah, they say we don't need God.
Yeah, that's actually what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? So the tendency of many rich people is to trust in their good deeds and trust in their riches to get them to heaven. They don't think they need God at all. But a poor person, Jesus says that the poor have the gospel preached to them. They're more likely to receive the gospel because they understand that this world is temporary, this world is fleeting, the pleasures of this world are only for a while. But the rich man, Jesus says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven?
But did he say a camel? It would be easier for a
camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
And that's so because they're used to paying their way everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to trusting in what they do, and they're self-sufficient. Whereas the Bible said, God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. And so Uganda is rich in faith today,
mm-hmm.
and it's wide unto harvest today, because the people are not deceived by riches as many of the Americans are. And they realize the need for God. And so basically, the people are ready to hear the gospel because they know that they can't work their way to heaven. And they've been trying to be good, They're trying to repent of all their sins. But you see, that's not how we go to heaven, by repenting of all of our sins or by being good. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
And I should say that going to heaven is so easy. Jesus compares it. He says, you must become like a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you were to tell a little child that you have to, you know, stop sinning to go to heaven, you have to go to church, get baptized, live a righteous life, they're not going to understand you, because that's not simple.
They're just being children, just being innocent.
Yeah, the child has a childlike trust in their parents. And Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Okay, guys, you guys quote a lot of scriptures. It's obvious you guys are well-versed with the Bible.
To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
When did you guys discover Christ?
It was about 7 years ago.
7 years, that's all? I thought maybe you guys have had Christ all your lives.
Well, people always had the Bible. It was nigh us, even in our mouth and
in
our heart.
Tell me
the
about
word
your,
of faith.
Tell me about your parents.
Yes.
You guys grew up with your parents? Were they church-going people?
Our parents were what you would consider what one man called a flu-shot Christian. They would go to church maybe once a year or something like that. But they're not really cared about. They don't care about the things of God. You know, the only prayer you learn is a vain repetition, now I lay me down to sleep type thing. But there's really no substance to it at all. And I feel that's how most people are with religion. They don't really care. It's just kind of a cultural thing.
At least that's how our parents were. And then we learned the gospel. And then we met a preacher who preached to us the word of God.
At the same time, because you guys are twins, just because one accepted Christ did not necessarily mean the other would too. Were you guys born?
Well, he was born first, 2 minutes before me, Jesse was born.
Okay.
And I was born again first, 2 minutes before Jesse.
Okay.
And so I got saved, and I told him, you need to get saved too. You need to believe on Christ, because we can't work our way to heaven.
Okay, that's incredible. That's insane. You guys married?
No, we are single right now.
What?
Just fully devoting ourselves to the work of God.
Okay. Right. So listen, you do know he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
That is exactly right.
Favor before the eyes of God. What are you guys, are you working on that?
Well, we're just kind of following the example of the Apostle Paul right now, where Paul thought it was best that he would serve the Lord full time. He that is married care for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, but he that is unmarried care for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So for the time being, we're just devoting ourselves fully to preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel, and bring as many people to heaven.
Well, Apostle Paul faced quite a lot of challenges. Have you guys faced any like problems?
No, I'm kind of wondering when I'm going to. You know, the Bible says, yeah, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, but usually persecution doesn't come immediately. It takes a little bit. You know, you have to do a lot of work for the Lord.
You're readying yourself for that persecution.
We're ready for anything, because we were ready to believe, and now we're ready to suffer. The Bible says it's given to you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Okay.
And so Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Let's take it back. Your parents, right? You said they were not exactly a model type of Christian, and you guys overcame that. You guys became born again. So you tell them, look, Dad, Mom, we are leaving. We're going to Uganda, right? To preach the word of God. Did they think you guys were nuts?
No, my brother and I were both studying to become physicians in America. We were in college to become physicians. We were doing coursework for that. And the real shock for them came when we decided not to become physicians anymore. And we decided to leave college and instead to work and eventually become evangelists. But I guess they were interested to see why we would go to Uganda and not, you know, stay in America. Our mom would say to us things like, why don't you just preach to people here in America?
We were not listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the Bible, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
that's true, actually.
There's great honor abroad. And so we're not seeking honor for ourselves, but that honor that comes from God only.
Do you ever regret doing what you guys do?
I have no regret any day that I live my life.
I regret that I didn't come here sooner.
You found a lot of patients here, Dr. Jesse?
Yes, Jesus compared preaching the gospel to a physician's work. He says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus, he wasn't concerned with the people who didn't care. In Luke 10 and Matthew, the Bible tells us that if a city will not receive you, shake the dust off your feet. So if someone doesn't want to hear the gospel, then we don't want to preach to them. Mm-hmm. And even that's the kind of model that I employ whenever I go out and preach the gospel.
Yeah,
Sam,
I've seen you preach, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen you walk up to random people and you say, yeah, I want to tell you something about Christ. And the guy will just walk away. And then you move on to the next guy and
right.
the next guy. You
yeah.
persevere, man. You just go at it. And that's good. I do know for a fact the gospel. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So it's obvious you guys really hold God up.
Well, here's the great thing mm-hmm. about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're saved just by believing on Jesus Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life
yeah.
and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we go to heaven just by believing alone, by no works we do, by how good we are. But when you believe on Christ and you get saved, now you have the opportunity to be a laborer together with God. And, for example, if you decide to serve God with your life and do a great work for God, you can be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But if you decide to live your life in sin and live a life of worldliness, if you believed in Jesus, you'd still be saved, but then you'd be the least in heaven. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So there's great reward in serving God. But that reward is not salvation, because remember, salvation is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is just by believing. But if you serve God, you don't desire to waste your time with the pleasures of sin for a season. You, like Moses, have the respect, the recompense of the reward. You can be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
You talked about not being ashamed. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So I would be ashamed of maybe living my life in a way that is not accordance with the scripture. A lot of people have whereof to be ashamed. Jesus talks about this adulterous and sinful generation. But when you're preaching the gospel of God, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be afraid of. A lot of people are afraid to openly confess him, as it were. Many people, for example, I preach the gospel to, they don't want to go out and preach the gospel with me, or they don't want to come to church because they're afraid what their parents are going to say. They're afraid what their friends are going to say. But as you said, you know, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. So there's going to be a lot of people who are saved, who will go to heaven, who Jesus is ashamed of, basically, where Jesus is not going to give them a crown. Now, they're still saved, praise God. We're just saved by faith alone, not by our good deeds, not by our works. But once someone is saved, there is the decision to become a disciple of the Lord. Now, a lot of people have this confused. They think that you must become a disciple of Jesus to be saved. But you see, Jesus only had 12, maybe 70, and then a few other disciples. The early church in Acts chapter number 2 only had 120 people in it. But Jesus got thousands of people saved. Because salvation is easy. But a lot of people, they don't do the work of becoming a disciple, which is not required for our salvation. Salvation is just by trusting only in Jesus. But after we are saved, the Bible says it is given to you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Okay, so listen. Sorry, I have to cut you short. How many hours a day do you spend meditating on the Bible?
All day. The Bible says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
Okay, so when do you guys watch TV?
Not at all.
When do you go?
When people are picking up their phone to look on social media, I'm picking up my phone to quote to memorize the Bible.
When do you swim, man? When do you go out to do something?
Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Okay, guys, wait. So you guys eat, leave, breathe God.
Bible says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. Job considered the word of God more important than what he eats, because the Bible says, it is not a vain thing for you, it is your life. Too many people are living their lives for social media, for the television, for, you know, whatever it is,
sport or any of the
politicians, politics, sports.
I mean, that's a whole variety. Like,
yeah.
Variety is the spice of life. It makes you more. I'm just saying. So, you guys are 24/7 doing God's work. Like, when do you find time, me time?
I'm crucified with Christ.
Not another verse, man.
Uh-huh.
Not another verse. When do you find
I would say
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. who loved me and gave himself.
But that's not to say that we don't have personal lives.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we do have a lot of personal interests. For example,
what do you do for fun?
So I love to study foreign languages. Okay. I am fluent in French and Spanish alongside English. Okay. And so I've learned those languages.
Have you tried to learn Luganda?
I've tried, but not doing too well on that one.
Okay, just one word.
What? One word? Kirisa mukamawafi Yesu Kristu.
So what do you do, Jesse? Free time.
Yeah, I do. I do other things beside the Bible. I read books, say, on history, philosophy.
That's just about the same thing, man. Reading.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to do things that are profitable. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to do vain things. See, the Bible says, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So you want to redeem your time with profitable things. The Bible says, that give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all.
Okay, so I know a lot of evangelists that are rich, they're billionaires in Ugandan shillings, they're millionaires in US dollars, and they find time to take it easy. When do you guys think you'll hit pose?
Those men that are rich are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're serving their own belly. The Bible says, "By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Jesus Christ didn't have where to lay his head. The Bible says of Peter, he said, "Silver and gold have I not." And so any righteous man of God never became rich. It's only the false teachers all throughout the Scripture.
I know Jesus had to borrow a donkey just to ride into Jerusalem. He had to borrow a donkey.
Yeah.
He was the Son of God. I get it. But still, surely you guys, come on.
No.
He must want to make some money.
The Bible says, labor not, be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom.
You know, the example of Paul, he says, as poor, yet making many rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven.
You might become rich.
Rich spiritually. See, people are focused upon a financial blessing, some kind of financial riches.
What's wrong with having a financial blessing? It all comes from God, right?
No.
There were great men of God that were rich.
You know, the person who offered someone
was a rich man.
Riches in the world was Satan when he offered Jesus Christ.
Anyway, he said no to that. But he knew that was the devil's riches.
But most of the preachers that are rich are saying yes to that offer. That's why they're so rich, because they're teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
The Bible says a qualification of the pastor is that he is not greedy of filthy lucre. Any man who gets rich preaching the word of God is not preaching the true word of God.
Yeah. So what should they do with all this money?
Well, they need to sell it, as Jesus said, and give alms, and then they'll have treasures in heaven. Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth doth corrupt and the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt, nor thieves break through.
Listen, you guys, in the near future, you don't see yourselves driving a really nice car.
I will never be rich.
What?
Never.
Watch it.
Whatever
you say, the tongue will bind it. You can't say, I'll never be rich. What kind of
talk
is that?
Because that's what I'm saying.
You don't want to be rich?
It's, for example, you know, many false prophets are seeking fame. They're seeking glory for themselves, right? But Paul says, as unknown and yet well known. So I'll never be famous and loved of the world.
Jesse, are you trying to say money is the root of all evil?
Yeah, which was some coveted after they have erred from the faith.
The love of money is the root of all evil. But hey, you don't know what you're asking for when you ask for riches. Remember, God appeared to Solomon, and he said, ask me whatsoever you would.
And he asked
Saul asked for wisdom.
And then guess what happened to Solomon?
He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, went off the deep end.
Exactly. Yeah. But he asked God for wisdom. So I'm just trying to say, like, there's nothing wrong with a beetle.
But Solomon had everything. He had all the pleasure in the world, all the power in the world, all the fame in the world. And the Bible says silver was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Then I looked on all the labor that my hands had wrought, on the work I labored to do, and all was vanity and vexation of spirit.
Who was the man after God's heart?
That is David.
That was David. And David still took over, what was his name, Uriah's wife?
Yes, he committed adultery with Uriah's
Bathsheba.
Wife,
Bathsheba.
Right, yes. So all I'm trying to say is, he was a man of God. There's a man after God's own heart. But even he found time to sort of kind of mess up. Sometimes messing up is a natural thing.
Well, that's one of his great falls. And many major people in the Bible have very big problems, or they have one major mistake that they make in their lives. Mm-hmm. And we see David committing adultery with Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. and then killing her husband.
Yeah.
We see Solomon having 700 wives at the end of his life turning away from God.
Mm-hmm.
We find King Saul, who he disobeys God.
Mm-hmm.
He seeks to kill David and commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We see Samson, who sleeps with a prostitute and he breaks all of his vows. Moses kills an Egyptian, disobeys God at the end of his life.
Oh,
but you know what's interesting about all these people?
God did not catch Moses on that technicality, killing an Egyptian.
But you know, the Bible describes to us that all of these people are in heaven now because they all believed. But they all made a great mistake in their life. And so they had received some form of punishment. Moses didn't go into the promised land.
Yes, absolutely.
David lost his son
mm-hmm.
and three others later in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon, he lost part of the kingdom, his son to Rehoboam. We also see Samson losing his honor and losing his eyes. We see Saul even losing his mind and everything. So you can lose everything, but you can't lose your salvation. Because Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Take your example of David, though. The reason why he committed adultery with Bathsheba was because it was the time when the kings go out to battle. So David should have been out battling and working, but instead he was idle on the top of his roof.
Okay, well, kings were not really meant to go out fighting.
No, they were in the Old Testament time. They would often go out to battle in thine own person, the Bible says.
But this particular time, he stayed behind
to
check out the girl next door.
Yeah.
And that was the cause of his ruin.
God actually told him, you know, it didn't make any sense why David would do that. He already broke God's commandment having many wives. The Bible teaches we're only supposed to have one wife, not many. Polygamy
is Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, Stella, Juliet.
Where does the Bible say you cannot have more than one?
The Bible says that he has made a man and woman, and they shall cleave unto his
wife.
Well, I mean, he had a concubine. Right, and then he had another wife after his first wife died.
But matter of fact, Sarah was like, yo, man, come on, go ahead and have another girl.
Well, that was wrong. And that actually God, by giving the covenant of circumcision...
Abraham had a direct conversation with God. They were to talk like, what's going on?
But remember now, this is when Abraham is lapsing in faith. And so this is when Ishmael is born,
mm-hmm.
which is the son of the flesh.
But wait, at that time... Isaac was not born. He was still waiting on the son.
And so Abraham didn't have any faith in God. Therefore he was weak. And so therefore he went in unto the concubine.
But God kind of okayed it because nothing can really happen. God knows how many hairs you have in your head.
But the Bible said, the scripture says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman should not be heir.
I know the Bible said that too. It gets confusing sometimes.
Well, there's nothing confusing about the Word of God.
See, the problem is that a lot of people, they take narratives of the Bible and they try to teach lessons from them. And you can.
Yeah.
But what you have to do when you interpret the Bible is you have to take the clear statements of Scripture and interpret the narratives in light of those clear statements. For example, there are many such texts in the Bible that people twist to teach that you can lose your salvation, or texts that you have to work your way to heaven. But it's because they're taking these texts out of context. The clear statements of the Bible is that salvation is by faith alone. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, Jesus says. So we need to always take the clear statements of the Bible and interpret the unclear in light of the clear.
Okay, I mean, that we have to break into song. We could talk all day, you guys. I still have John and Jesse in the studio with me, so guys, keep it here.
Whoa! You guys have a scripture version. I thought I knew about the Bible. Not anymore.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Okay. I see this guy preach all the time. It's obvious I've never heard him preach like
this. Moses.
He's a very fiery, eh?
Would you like to become rich?
Of course I want to be rich, man!
Have you heard what you're saying?
Now listen. Well, guys, look, I'll be honest, right? What I have is I haven't sold my soul for, right? I have worked hard, right? And the Bible does say, man shall eat from their own sweat, right? I know you guys are going to say, oh, you're getting the narratives on the Bible, blah, blah, I'm twisting it. I'm not twisting it, right? It does say, you shall work and you shall earn from your sweat, from the brow of you. Remember this, right? After those guys got thrown out of those.
The diligent soul shall be made fat.
But it says man will eat bread by the sweat of his face.
But then why, right? So God, wait, listen. Do you remember a part in the Bible where God says, you shall not declare and claim what I haven't? Right, so basically it's brought up all this stuff so we can eat it. and enjoy it, right?
That's right. When God has plans, that call not thou call.
See, there you go, right? So basically, right, it doesn't matter if I'm eating lobster, right, or I'm eating sushi or eating...
Yeah, but lobster is a different price value than bread.
So why should it make it any bad for me to enjoy lobster if that's what God's put on my
Because the
plate?
Lord's Prayer is give us this day our daily bread.
Oh, come on now. Are you going to lock me down on the word bread? Bread is actually meant to signify something you eat, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't be just normal bread. So basically, I get it. By saying bread, it kind of makes it, gives it a, not, I can't say poor feel. It gives it a common kind of food. But in reality, still, all our blessings are from God. And they did say in the Bible that God just to bless men. Say, you know what, I'll give you all these vast lands. I'll give you this. I'll do that for you, whatever. I'll make you a great man. And we also do have
but
great
the,
men of the Bible.
But you know, the Bible says that God has chosen the poor, the strong, rich in faith. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1, God has not chosen many rich, many mighty, many noble, or not called.
So listen, are you fighting wealth?
Oh no.
You guys are fighting wealth, man.
Wealth will not chase me. It cannot.
Come on, man. Listen,
someone who preaches the true word of God, someone who preaches God's word as it is in the word of God and the scriptures, will not become wealthy. Because they'll be hated of the world, they'll be rejected of the world, they'll be the despised of the world. And that's how it was for all the prophets. In the book of Hebrews, it lists a lot of prophets. They were torn, they were sawn asunder. The Bible says, escape the violence of fire. So, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue.
Yeah, I do remember, yeah, they said no, they wouldn't. Still, you guys, man, come on now. Like,
we gave up everything to come here.
I mean,
we had nice stuff over in America. We had a nice car, nice house, nice everything. And we gave it all up because it's more important, the things of God.
There's no man that hath left houses or wives or brethren or whatever shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time.
Let me ask you a question, but guys, we need to be honest. So, you guys did have girlfriends at the time or something?
Never had a girlfriend in my life. Only one I've kissed is my mom.
Get the... Oh! Come on, man! So, listen, send money from So I get it. You know, you wouldn't really know what you're giving up because you've never had it to begin with.
Yeah, we haven't been. We haven't tasted blood.
So listen, man. So you gotta get to that. Okay, the only way you guys can get comfortable is if you find a girl with the same mindset as you, a girl that helps well. Like, you wouldn't marry Bill Gates' daughter.
No, not enough.
Bill Gates' daughter would be like, yo.
But not enough. Wait,
so Bill Gates' daughter came and said, hey, John. What's up, man?
The Bible says, as a jewel of gorgeous wine snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. The smartphone
network. No, man! Hey. Put on this, right? Yearning for more, Honor Juice is carefully made to give you that delicious goodness you will see for one day. We have company, man. Just see and John. Delicious mangoes or crispy apple. Make your pick because Honor Juice is thick and tasty. With loads of nutrients, Honor Fruit Juice tastes so heavenly you can feel it gliding from your tongue to your throat, leaving you feeling of great sacrifice. Do you guys see we have good jobs, we have good cars in America, blah, blah, blah. He gave it all up. Flavors, apple, and just like Abraham gave up the land of his forefathers and whatever he was told to move to. Like, that's big, man. You just don't uproot your entire, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like telling me Moses, if I was told Moses, you know what, you have to move to America, you know, to wherever, to maybe preach the word or something, I might be like, well, all right, let's move to America. You know what I mean? It is America. If I was told that Moses, you have to move to, like, Sudan, like, no. Oh, I'm moving to Sudan. I like my job. I like what I do. I like my car. So I know how hard this can be.
But really, we're not sacrificing anything. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to 20 disciples, and only the name of a disciple, you shall no wise lose your reward. We're not really giving up anything. In the long run, we're going to inherit heaven, riches in heaven. And so the difference is, we don't want to seek the honor of men, riches of men. We want to seek riches in heaven. What we're going after is riches that are eternal, riches that last forever, riches that will be everlasting.
So listen, I'm just saying, man, but listen, man, this is what I think.
Because this life is so short.
It is. It's good and really, really
it's like a tale that is told. It's like water spilled in the ground. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Why live your life for 70 years? Why not live your life for eternity? have an eternal perspective.
But wait, so listen, there's a chance, right, that someone's actually going to enjoy what you're missing out on. So then give their life to Christ, like, for, you know what I mean? Like,
but then when they get to heaven, then I'm going to be the one who's a king, that I'm going to be eating steak in heaven, and they're going to be eating bread.
That's all right. So you're not having steak on earth because you're waiting for the heaven steak.
That's right.
Oh, come on, bro.
That doesn't mean we have a little luxury in our lives.
That's good. I like
it. It doesn't mean we have a little bit of leisure time. Our life is not characterized by leisure, by laying around. There's too many fake missionaries in this world who they suck up thousands of dollars from the U.S. just to come and sit on their hands and then just live their life.
That is the truth of the word. Isn't that what's most important? Well, it's the word out. As many people like lighting many candles.
Yeah, but they're not really doing anything. They're hiding it under a bushel.
They're more busy with their vegetable garden.
Yeah.
Than they are with
too busy
God's
planting potatoes.
They're trying to go fish for you know, the fish. They don't care about the men.
Fishing for men.
Favor.
Listen, here's another thing, man. God has promised us great thing. I do remember even the devil, when he was trying to test Jesus, he tried to test him as well. Again. But what did Jesus say?
He said, "Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shalt thou serve."
He wanted Christ to bow before him. Yeah. And then he talks with the food, he said, like, man shall not live by bread alone.
Okay, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, for real, bread could have meant steak, sushi, and all that.
Just to come on it. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven.
Here's the thing. You guys don't drink?
No.
Like wine?
I've never drank alcohol.
Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, who serveth deceive thereby is not wise.
Bible says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions?
Jesus turned water into wine.
Jesus turned water into unfermented grape juice.
Where does it say?
The term wine in the Bible, it can either mean alcoholic, fermented, or unfermented. And here's why I know that from John chapter 2, the first miracle Jesus did at Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine. Because when Jesus turned the water into wine, it says the men had well drunk. That means they already drank a lot of the wine. So if Jesus was turning the six water pots of two or three firkins apiece, about 150 gallons worth of water, into wine, and he says drink more, Jesus would be giving water to people who are already drunk to make them more drunk. So that would be a great sin. In fact, there's a curse upon someone in the book of Habakkuk, where it says, "Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, that may discover his nakedness and look thereon." So there's actually a curse in the Old Testament about someone who would give alcohol to someone else.
Okay. All right, guys, we're about to go on. It's Honorable Judith Bavidia, Tuangula, indeed. She says she has favor, and I believe John and Jesse have favor. I mean, they've been blessed to actually be down here in Uganda preaching the word, the gospel, to a lot of people that want to take it or not. Now, I have to be honest with you guys, even behind, like when the music was playing, behind the scenes, we were talking quite a lot, and you guys said you've never had girlfriends at all, so you don't miss, you know, having that part of your life right yet, because you've never really known about it. You're also missing out on a lot of things. You guys never drank a drop of anything.
Yeah, the poison of dragons, the Bible calls it alcohol.
Earlier on, I did tell you Jesus turned water into wine. You told me, oh no, but that was unfermented wine.
Yeah, because and what I was saying was that it's ridiculous when people say that Jesus turned water into alcohol.
That was the first miracle, though.
Well, the term wine in the Bible, anyone that knows anything about the term wine knows that it can either be fermented or unfermented. The Bible actually describes the process of fermentation in the book of Proverbs chapter number 23. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." So the Bible tells us that when you're drinking wine, in the sense of fermented wine, it's as if you're drinking a poison of snakes, a poison of dragons, reptiles. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the, so Jesus did not turn water into alcoholic wine. And it's just kind of silly for us today. No, the reason why is because today we have, you know, juice everywhere. You can go buy juice, but in the ancient world, making juice was very difficult. It's very, because they did not have machines like we do today, or at least the same machines.
To be honest, I'm not really trying to contest that. I'm just trying to see you kind of resolve a little bit. But the truth is, what you guys do is great, right? Really. And at the end of the day, like you said, your gift is in heaven. It's ready and waiting. What is the most important message you feel we, as a continent, not just as a country, need to know?
The most important thing that anyone needs to know is asked in a question in the Bible in Acts chapter number 16, verse 30. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. A jailer at Philippi, he comes up, prison guard, and he comes to Paul and Silas who were in prison. And he says, it brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to go to heaven? What do I have to
do
to escape hell?"
He told him to sell everything.
No. Verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house."
There you go. I was about to come to that. So they didn't say anything about you have to be poor.
No.
You have to believe.
Exactly. And the word believe means to trust in Jesus. Like if I say that I believe in a sport player to win the game, I'm saying that I'm trusting in him to do the work for me.
So we all do that. We all trust in Jesus.
No. A lot of people, they believe that Jesus exists. But the Bible says in James 2:19, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble."
So what do I have to do?
The believing in the Bible is not just believing that God exists. The Bible doesn't say with the mind man believes. It says with the heart. Believing is also not with the hands. Some people say, well, if you believe, that means you're going to do good works. That's not what believe means in the Bible. Believing has nothing to do with works. The Bible says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So believing is more properly understood as trusting or putting your faith in Jesus, letting him do all the work.
Well, you do that. Right.
Well, Jesus died on the cross, and some people think they have to add to the cross of Calvary. They think that it's not enough when Jesus went up the hill to Golgotha, to Calvary. Now I have to get baptized. Now I have to do good deeds in order to earn heaven. But heaven is not something you earn. It's a free gift. Yeah, but Jesus, did he have any sin, Moses?
No, I wouldn't say he did.
Baptism doesn't wash our sins away. The Bible says that in Revelation 1:5, he washed us from our sins in his own blood.
So why did Jesus get baptized?
He says in Matthew 3:15, to fulfill all righteousness.
Right.
But it says
wrong with me fulfilling all righteousness?
In Titus 3:5, it says that we are not saved by the works of righteousness. It says that God saved us.
And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us. So you see, there's these two things that people need to understand. Mm-hmm. There's a great distinction between getting saved, getting the gift of eternal life, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, and then living a life which is pleasing to God and living a righteous life. It's like, for example, the difference between being born and then living as a child. The Bible says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And so the most important thing we need to do is to be saved, become God's children. And the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So the moment that you believe in Jesus, not when you get baptized, not when you go to church, not when you repent of all your sins, but when you believe in Jesus, then you become God's child.
So basically what you're trying to tell me is I do not really have to follow up. Like, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do anything.
In order to go to heaven, but remember now, if you're a child of God,
we all want to go to heaven.
If you're a child of God,
so I'm already in heaven.
If you believe in Christ and you become,
I can be rich and still go to heaven. I can still make all this money. I can still do whatever I have to do and still be a good person.
But now, when you get born into God's family, God has expectations for you. God wants you to serve Him and obey Him. And so, if you disobey God on this earth and you don't follow Him, you don't get baptized, you don't go to church, although you go to heaven and you shall. Because the thief on the cross went to heaven without being baptized, without going to church, without reading his Bible.
That's
you will go to heaven, but you're going to be punished on earth by God. Because the Bible says, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, scourges every son of yours even."
Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, it says in Deuteronomy, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. So if someone says, "Oh, I just want to be rich, I just want to live in the pleasures of sin," after they have trusted in Jesus, they're still God's child, all right. But God's going to punish them, just like a father punishes his child.
On earth.
And
we'll still go to heaven.
Yeah,
of course. There's all throughout the Bible, you'll find God punishing his children. We see God killing people. The Bible says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed.
So listen, so real quick before we finish this. So you guys don't just want to go to heaven, right? You want to have the cherry on top.
That's right. We want to have that crown in heaven too.
Yeah, we want to have the crown of righteousness. And Paul says, for what is our hope or glory or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?
So I am still safe, right, by living my life and, you know, doing good and having, but still believing in Christ like I do.
Well, doing good is not how we go to heaven, Moses.
See, the problem is this, is that most people, they say, oh, I believe in Jesus, so I'm good. But at the end of the day, they say, well, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't go to church, if you don't get baptized, you're not going to go to heaven. But that means they don't really believe in Jesus. That means they're believing in themselves.
So, wait, you tell them, so are we still going to heaven or not?
Well, we go to heaven if we're not trusting in the law to save us, because the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works
but
of the law.
But I trust in the law to save us.
But by the Lord, not by the law. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, Moses is not the Savior, Jesus is.
Is your name written in the book of life?
That's exactly right.
Okay, it's in there too.
But here's an interesting thing about that.
Uh-huh.
The way your name gets written in the book of life, okay, and it doesn't get blotted out, is if you believe in Christ.
Of course.
Who is he that overcometh but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the Son of God.
Check.
So when you believe on Christ, then you can never go to hell, you can never be blotted out.
Mm-hmm.
However, although your name may never be blotted out of the book of life, you believe in Jesus. When you get to heaven, Jesus might give you a broom, okay, and make you be the least of it.
I'll still be in heaven.
A lot of people, they need the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, they need to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Hmm.
They just kind of assume that they're saved because they have a Christianity or a tradition. But I'm telling you, if someone is a Catholic, Orthodox,
yeah,
Protestant,
yeah,
Jehovah's Witness,
yeah,
Mormon,
yeah,
these churches teach a false gospel. They are not teaching the true gospel.
And that was so interesting when we came here to Uganda. The biggest cult that we found here in Uganda is what's known as the born-again cult, or the Pentecostal cult, which are churches which teach that in order for you to go to heaven, you got to repent of your sins.
So you're not born again?
Well, we are believers in Jesus, so we are born again according to the Bible.
Uh-huh.
But we are not born again according to Pentecostals.
Are you Christian?
So yes, we are Christian.
Right.
But you see, what's interesting here is that all throughout the world, the Pentecostal church calls themselves Pentecostal. But here in Uganda, they have a specific name for themselves. They call themselves born again.
Born again Christians, you've been born again.
But you see, they are not really born again.
Oh.
Because a Pentecostal believes that in order for you to go to heaven, you got to stop sinning.
How do you get born again?
By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Well, says in John,
Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it tells us in the book of John. When the John chapter, they turn me to John chapter 3, where he says, "Is it maybe born again, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven." But they don't look down later in the chapter, the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
For God
but
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting.
But this is what we encounter every day. We run into people who are from these born-again churches, and we ask them, how do you go to heaven? They say nothing about Jesus. They say, well, I got to keep the commandments. I got to stop sinning. I got to try to follow Jesus and be good. And
they're already born
me.
Again, man. They already love Jesus. How do you think you get born again, man? Proclaim Jesus as your personal Christ and Savior.
But remember, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Guys, we have to go. We have to end this. It's already time for the news. It's been amazing. Thank you guys so much. We should do this again, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, in the future, sort of have a big encyclopedia, something bigger than the Bible, so I can tussle you guys out. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Right.
It's been great.
God bless.
When are you guys getting back to America? You still here?
Yeah, we're planning to be in Africa for the rest of our lives.
Oh, you guys better get yourself some Ugandan girls. How, listen, yeah, real quick, before I forget, I'm sorry. Are you reachable? Like, how can people get to you, to know more about you?
So, there's a church that we work with here in Uganda,
mm-hmm,
in Kampala, down in Kansanga,
mm-hmm,
called Gospel Light Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is located on Chifalanga Road.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel Light Baptist Church on Chifalanga Road in Kansanga.
Social media, you guys on it? Or the devil? Oh, it's the devil's too. I'm just kidding. Are you on social media?
Yes, we are.
Oh, right. Okay. Facebook?
Facebook.
What are you? JC? What?
Yeah, I'm John McPhail.
John McPhail.
That's right.
JC McPhail?
That's
yeah.
Correct.
All right. Okay. Guys, thank you so much.
Yes, thank
it's
you.
It's been great. Guys, it's been JC John. It's been Moses too. I have to sign out with this. We meet again tomorrow, actually. I'll be doing the late date. I'll be sitting in for my man, Irish. So we meet again tomorrow. God bless.
Really? 366 days when they
got the
prince last
week.
Now only to
Jamwood.
Come on, support. Come to Dennis Onyango and his troops as Uganda faces Malawi.
Oh, you guys. Oh, man. I could say something about the tree not being good enough. You have a verse about it. You guys did really well.
They want to spend the rest of their life in Africa. Are we marrying you here?
That's right. This is the promised land.
You did not say that, man. You guys are like, oh, shit. Alright, that's it. In this case, man, we need to get you guys some Ugandan name.
But not from Mungere.
From a town. No, like, but see, we have this thing called clans, right? Like, your name, of course, you can know what clan you belong to. This was done so, in case your dad had another child somewhere and you met them, just by hearing their name, you can know they belong to your clan, so you can't mess with them. You know what I mean? It's just a nice system, kind of like, you know how it is, like maybe, you know, you meet a girl and then you later on discover, oh, that's your dad's child he had. I know it's happened before. So anyway, that was the thing. So, wait, let me just cut this out. Yeah, it's all good. So basically,
we have many things to say.
Okay. And hard to be uttered, seeing your daughter.
I usually am the talk. I'm. Yes, I'd me dumbfounded. Like, I mean, I've said anything about like the weather, or you guys had a verse for it. You guys are really well. And say like that's like just 7 years. That's all.
Yeah, we've read the Bible. I've read it 20 times, cover to cover. So we read it about
20 times.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Who does that?
Well, I know people.
20 times.
Yes.
That means. The whole Bible is in Egypt.
That's right.
Of course, man. Because listen, yeah, you'd be like, no, that's not what Romans says. Romans chapter blah, 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 says, and half our preachers can't quote. You know, because they need time to get rich. And half the time they have to worry
yes,
about
it.
But the Bible says that Jesus in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
That's very inspirational. That means I could actually host you guys next year and the year after that. And like before I have to leave, like, you know, because I have to leave at some point in time, I have to leave the country. And then you guys can take over this show.
Yeah. Are you Ugandan?
Eh?
You're Ugandan?
I'm Ugandan, actually.
Why do you have to leave?
But
he's half Ugandan.
Oh, give me a minute. I was in the UK for a very long time. So I have family there. I have a son. I had a wife. Yeah,
had
kind of. It's complicated. Now you guys can't say it's complicated because you guys are. You know what I mean? But yeah. So now, at some point in time, I have to kind of. Sometimes things get really hard, and I feel the need just okay, like clear my head. Sort of like how you'll go to a place just to clear your head. You know how it is. Sort of like you guys are from. You told me Houston.
Arizona.
Yeah. So you guys are from Arizona. Every once in a while, you probably maybe just. Run across the border to Mexico just to clear your head.
I've been to Mexico
yeah.
several times. I speak Spanish.
Yeah, so. Actually, you did tell me. Yeah. So you know, why did you go to Mexico?
It's because I wanted to preach the gospel on a missionary trip.
Yeah? So when did the Mexicans say,
forget about the gospel, just take me across the border.
Yeah? Oh, we get that more in Uganda here.
Yeah,
oh,
really?
Where they say, take me to America.
See, there you go. Oh, you guys want to come here? What? So listen here. So your parents. Okay, you guys can always go back to work and visit them and then come back. Would you ever convince them to come down here?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, man, for you guys to do that, man, you need to set up some sort of enterprise. Like, you know, like, and kind of, like, there's nothing wrong with actually having, like, being rich.
We're not building an empire here, Moses. We seek.
My kingdom is not of this world.
Oh, but come on, you guys.
We seek no continuing city, but one to come. Bible says that we look not on the things which are seen,
so
but on the things which are not seen.
So listen, part of the congregation goes like, yo, man, Jesse, John, thanks a lot for the work you guys are putting for the Lord. Here's the car, right? You guys take that car, right?
Yeah, we'll take it, we'll sell it.
Oh,
and then we'll buy Bibles and give Bibles to people we get saved.
It's a mode of transportation.
Mm. But we just walk everywhere.
How are you going to walk to the Karamoja? How are you going to walk to Karamoja? Oh, yeah, he's also talking about like, someone's been listening going like, oh man, like the incredible kids going like, yeah. I've said though, but wealth is not good. So give up all your money, man.
No, I'm not giving up my car.
Can Pastor Mondo give out his money?
Hmm?
Can he give out all his money?
Come on, man. They never. We do know these preachers. Yeah, when you guys talked about preachers sort of running after the flesh and the money and blah, blah. Yeah, we do know quite a lot of pastors here. You know, a pastor that's always bragging about how much money he has and he wants to buy a jet. And I know, there's some, no, there's something called over the top. Now, buying a jet when you're a pastor, that's a bit over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But having a car, like, I'm just saying.
Nothing wrong with a car, as long as it gets you from one location to another, but as long as it's not a Mercedes Benz.
Wait a minute, what's wrong with a Mercedes Benz?
Or some expensive car.
This is flashy. There's no reason for it.
Okay, I get it. I know exactly what you mean. But listen, no. God says, like.
God says to that he abases the proud. I'm sorry, and he exalts the humble.
You do, okay, yeah, that's stupid. You guys know, but let me tell you something. Bible teaching about blessing. Okay, I know you guys are
really sure. Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh yeah, according to blah. By the time I'm reading it, Google, you guys are going to be like, about blessing. But listen, here's the thing. And God blesses us, right, about blessing.
With spiritual blessings. Look at Ephesians 1. And all the spiritual blessings we have.
Remember when you said something about like narrative and whatever? So you guys also have narrative. Like you always find a reason to kind of say it's not good to have money, but it's good to have.
It's not good to be rich.
Oh.
But it is good. It's good. It's good to have enough to survive. The Bible says, "In having food and raiment, let us be there with content."
So when you pray to God, what do you pray for?
I pray for wisdom, like Solomon
prayed. God give us wisdom. God give us direction. God save these people. God give us power. God give us. We're praying for God to bring his as many people to heaven as possible and preach the word of God so that people know God's word. We're not concerned with, as we say, establishing our kingdom here. You know, this is my kingdom come. Wrong. Our kingdom is in the world.
Let me give you an example. Have you guys been to a total church?
No,
we've heard a lot about it.
It's fantastic. It was started by this guy called Gary Skinner. So Skinner came up to Uganda and then saw the people who were really poor, started up this ministry to teach them about the word of God, at the same time to help. So he's got like so many Watoto homes spread across the country. They're going to this area or whatever and using the money, some of the money.
When he's not driving around expensive
cars. Here's the thing. Like, yes, Skinner will go home like for holidays from Canada originally. He'll go to Canada, have a little holiday or whatever, go to the US or whatever. But then he'll give out to Israel, then he'll give out to Lebanon, he'll give out to these countries, right? And the Bible does say, man, blessed more is the man that gives than the one that receives.
There's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
But
everyone I've met from Watoto is not saved.
Yeah, the people we meet from Watoto believe in keeping the law to go to heaven. They don't believe in salvation by faith. They believe in salvation by the law.
Listen,
that means that guy is a false teacher.
No, but listen, here's the thing, though. Okay, let me just put it this way, right? You have been taught, right, by your pastor.
Yeah.
That this is the right way.
And then from the Bible.
Okay, right. And everyone's reading from the Bible.
But again, if you talk to almost any of the Watoto members, how many times have you read this thing cover to cover?
Okay, no, I get it. Like,
zero.
But then, wait, you'll find Gary Skinner's probably already covered the covers.
The Bible, though, well, I mean, the devil knows the Bible, too. The Bible says that
the devil was
quoting the scripture to Jesus.
The favorite of God to begin with, like Lucifer was a much
loved anointed
cherub. Yeah, see, so I get it that, but at the end of the day, right, I still believe, see the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
I feel... I really, really adore the Ten Commandments because I feel if you want to be a good person, I feel like when you actually follow the Ten Commandments, you're pretty much a really good person.
But you haven't kept all the Ten Commandments, Moses.
Look, I can't say I have.
By the standard of Moses,
no, you're right.
Of the Old Testament.
Okay, no way. Let's look them up. No, I know you guys know that.
I can quote them for you.
I know, but.
I should not know their gods before me.
Thou shalt not make an engraven image.
So I wanted us to take them step by step. Right. You shall have no other gods before me. But me. I love God. He's the God that I serve.
But you put the God of money before him.
No, I didn't know it was the God of money because it's that same God that
I Bible calls it mammon.
Oh, wait, well, no, because wait, listen.
You cannot serve God and mammon.
Wait, come on, man.
I get it that God said it's you cannot have two masters. You cannot serve two masters of God. But listen, still, you shall have no. You shall have no other gods. It's wrong when you say. I mean, at this rate, you guys are going to say the God of the trees, God of the Mercedes.
That's right.
Mercedes,
yes, people do that all the time.
Blah, blah.
God of education, God of family.
But that's not. But I have one God, man. One God. It's sort of like that baseball cap where it says, "And one size fits all," right? Like my God.
But the Bible says covetousness, which is idolatry.
Yep.
And so when you love money, it is idolatry. Colossians 3 says that.
Oh, so you hate money?
Yeah, the Bible says hating covetousness.
We hate covetousness.
Oh, listen, let me ask you guys a question. How did you come to, how did you get to Acacia?
Acacia Vault?
Huh?
By Boda.
Right. You had to pay this Boda guy.
That's right.
Yeah, we paid him $2. That's chump change in America.
Oh, I get it. It's still okay, you're right. So you paid him about what, 7,000?
Yeah, 8,000.
I get it. Like 7,000, 8,000, right. So okay. You still had to pay him money.
Yes. So money is important.
It's a tool.
But
even in
the
Bible, the
Bible says they that use this world as not abusing.
That's a good point. Money is a tool, it's not an object.
No,
it's not the goal.
Like, money is a tool that buys me something that I need.
But what people end up...
Because if my daughter needs to go to school, this is Uganda, you know, I need to get to pay for her to get a quality education. It doesn't matter. I know in America, a kid will go to a public school and they'll have a good education, free education pretty much. And they can still be as successful as the next rich guy in America. But here, like, I need to take my child to a good school and I need to pay money. So I'll actually go out and work for that money. So I can use that tool to get some.
God promises to supply your needs.
I know,
right?
but God doesn't supply
your greed, Moses.
But I cannot sit here, right? Look, let me tell you this. Be honest with yourself. Like, be honest with me. Be honest with Henry over here. So if you sat right there for 2 days, right? Forget 2 days. You sat right there for a week, right? And you didn't eat a thing, right? You didn't drink any water because you said God will supply.
No.
I'm just saying.
We're not talking about being ascetics. What we're talking about is not living beyond your means.
I get it. So what exactly that means? Because your means.
Yeah, having
can be
food.
Different
the Bible says
means.
having food.
I'm just saying, like beyond your means. Beyond your means could be, look, as long as I have food today, I'm good. But maybe for me it would be like, you know, as long as I have food. And
mansion,
yeah.
A
no,
big
no, no.
Car.
It doesn't know. See, when you say mansion,
expensive
like,
clothes.
Abraham's had mansions, right? They lived good. The Abrahams, they lived good. They had a lot of cattle.
But
you know,
what you need to look up is not blessings in the Bible. You look up greed, covetousness in the Bible.
Oh, man. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Okay,
you should come to our church. I'll teach you some lessons
from
the Bible.
I've seen that guy, the guy that heads the Gospel Light Baptist. I know that guy. He drives a Noah, right? He comes with his family, big cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Right? I know the guy really well. I've met him on a good few times. We've had a chat. He should come up to Seroma, right? And he buys some material, whatever. And he's not doing bad for himself. I know he's not driving a Bentley. No, he's not.
He rents a house.
Right. I know he rents a house, but he can buy a house. Why in the world is he renting? Because listen.
He's got 4 children.
I get it. I know.
Five.
So listen, people are paying him money, right, still in the church. People are giving their offertory. And they're giving him the tithes, right? And he's putting them to use.
But it's not. Most of that money is not going to him. Most of the money is going back into the church.
That's good, right? That's good, right? Spreading the word of God. That's what I told you.
But
that's what Gary Skinner is doing too. Because he's
most of his money is going to him.
Most of his money I have seen. I've been to the Watoto homes, man. He's actually giving people a future. People that would otherwise have had a very, very he's going to orphans and women, widows.
Yeah,
and
but
actually,
he's
all their
to
works
hell.
They do to receive a man.
How is he sending
them
to hell?
Them
he's doing
gospel.
Listen, do you do remember there's a part in the Bible that said, like, you know, oh, thank you so much for clothing me. And he says, wait,
Matthew 25.
When did I clothe you? And he said, like, anytime you helped out a person, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing to help other people. But,
so
but you know, you
out.
Can give someone a pair of shoes and then send them to hell. That's not going to do them any good.
False gospel to them.
No, man, come on, listen. You do know there's a person in the Amazon, right, that's never heard about God.
I don't believe that.
It doesn't exist.
I think that everyone has heard
something. You know what's so funny is when we were in America, they said, hey, there's people in Africa and they haven't heard the word of God. And now we're in Africa, and they say there's people
in Amazon. We go to the Amazon, you know what they're going to say? There's people in Asia. We go to Asia, you know what they're going to say?
Because listen,
there's people in America.
Because listen, let me tell you this. Look, this preacher that you met, right? He convinced you. Okay, I knew you told me it was the Bible or whatever.
No. We believe what we believed before. We didn't even meet Pastor Pritchard before we came here.
Right.
Yeah, this pastor is working with
us. We come from a church in America, Faithful Word Baptist Church. Pastor Steven Anderson.
So yeah, Buster Pridgen, we didn't even know him until 5 months
ago. He didn't drain us at all.
We hear, we don't have the same philosophy as he does. He has different philosophies than we do.
So who's giving you this philosophy that you have? Hello, Bible. Okay. So listen, but listen.
You renewed the spirit of your mind.
No, I'm just telling you. If you do remember, these guys in the Bible used to like marry their cousins and such.
Yeah.
Do you find it right to marry your cousin?
Yeah, but God said that's an abomination in the book of Leviticus. And so, after
a
certain
Bible.
Time. After a certain
well, the
time,
Bible, the thing is this. The Bible doesn't change, but man does. And so God's laws are often accommodative. That is to say, although Abraham could marry his sister, as the gene pool started to become closer and closer, and then where the, you know.
You know, here's the thing. See, this conversation we're having now, we could not have an heir, because then it would be a question of, like, preaching to the choir. I love God. Like I'm already, I come every Sunday to tell people about the Word of God. So if I then started having what we are having now, right, it would be contradictory. Then it would sort of be like we're all believers in God and when we're fighting each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's we're not. We don't all believe in the same God.
No, I know. But then
the Muslims have a different God.
I get it, but guess what? It's still one God.
But their God is the devil.
They're worshiping
your father, the devil, Jesus says.
No, but listen, this is what I know. The Quran, right, pretty much...
It denies Jesus the Son of God?
No.
The Quran's the most confused jumble I've ever read in my entire life.
But it still says, like, Jesus was there.
It says he's not God. It denies the deity.
Yeah, it says Allah begetteth not, nor is he begotten.
But so let me ask you, why, what makes Jesus God?
Because the Bible says that he's the great God and our Savior, Titus 2:13. It says, my Lord and my God, right, Thomas says.
Because I do remember that... a lot of people are like rejected Jesus or not.
Yeah,
because he claimed to be God and they called him a blasphemer.
I know, but he said he was the Son of God.
And that means to be God.
I know, but he said he was the Son of God.
Son of God is a title of deity.
No, because listen, let me put it this way. Like, if Bill Gates was my dad, I was Bill Gates' son, right? I'll still say I'm the son of Bill Gates. I won't say I am Bill Gates.
But notice this. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, he knew people's thoughts. He's omniscient. Jesus Christ could forgive people's sins because he's God. Jesus Christ also was, when the Bible says he died on the cross, it says in Acts 20 that God shed his blood. So Jesus Christ is God.
No, I get it.
If he's not God, then when he died on the cross, it's just a man.
He arrogated to himself titles of deity.
No, but I get it. So, but you do realize when Jesus was here, God was still up in heaven, chilling?
God the Father.
Yeah.
Because there's three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I completely agree with
you. Trinity.
Yes, absolutely. The Trinity, yes. I completely agree with that. So listen, you'll have some people that say, you know what, I'm a bit uncomfortable, you know, calling Jesus God because God is God. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a person says, look, I get it that you Bill Gates' son, but I'm more comfortable dealing with your dad.
But Jesus
mind.
Said...
But then no, the Bible still did say that no one shall get to God the Father except through the Son. I get it. I get all that. So it actually does acknowledge that God is there and this is his son. You know he's sitting at the right hand, that's what the Bible says.
And if you deny the Son, you deny the Father.
But then you can't deny the Son because you love the Son.
But if a Muslim says Jesus is not the Son of God, they're denying the Son.
I know, but then...
Who is an Antichrist but he that denieth the Father and the Son? He's Antichrist, the Bible says.
But then the Muslim still believes in God.
He's believing in a different God. The Commandment 1, Moses, you shall have no other gods before me.
No, I get it.
The moon God,
Allah. No, but listen, no, that's true, right? But listen, let me tell you this, guys. You see the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other gods but me. I believe in God.
Allah is the God of Muhammad.
Right, but Allah is God. Like, I'm just saying, like, this is all I'm saying. I refuse to believe that in the end of the day, like, when Jesus, by the way, even to the Muslims, Jesus is going to come back.
He's going to send it all.
He's going to do the trumpet.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
But guess what?
But in the Quran, Jesus' return is more like he comes back. Right, if you're seeing what the Quran says about his return, Jesus will return back, and then he will set up, kind of destroy all the enemies of basically all the Christians, according to Muhammad, and then he's going to die and go be buried next to Muhammad in Mecca.
That's why Islam is the greatest persecutor of Christians in Islamic countries. Why can't we preach the gospel? Why, if I went to Islamic country, preach the gospel, would they cut my head off?
If you go to Hindu majority countries. Communist or atheist majority countries, Islamic majority countries, they are hellholes. But if you go to a Christian majority country, there's freedom. Why? Because Christianity brings civilization.
Or the spirit of the word is there is liberty.
So you guys believe this
the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says.
Listen, more than how can we, what, no, listen, because earlier on I told you guys, what do you have to do? And you guys said, no, it doesn't matter when you're seen and blah, blah,
to be
blah,
saved. Go to heaven. We're talking about, there's two different things, right? Going to heaven and serving God. Those are different things. Going to heaven is very easy. Being saved is very easy. But serving God, that takes a man of God, like Jesus Christ, like Paul, like Peter, a man of God who's actually doing the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But you're saying that people can get to heaven without Jesus. You're saying people can get to heaven without trusting in Jesus. But Jesus said, I am the way. How can you get to heaven but
so
by Jesus?
Let me tell you this. Before the missionaries came to Uganda, maybe 1900 or something.
1900.
No, it was earlier than that.
Yeah, they've been here for 500 years.
Oh, yeah, okay. Before they came down here, they found that there was
the tribes, yeah, ethnic, ethno-religious.
They all believed in God.
No, they believed in idols.
No, but wait.
Statues.
See,
according to Romans 1:20.
No. See, the Catholics still have their statues.
Yeah, the Catholics are fake religion.
But guess what?
They're pagans.
But they believed in an ultimate God, something bigger than them. Right?
Well, I mean, you know, to substantiate the claim, every continent has its own pagan gods. African spiritism, European spiritism, okay, with the old Gothic gods and so on, and then Native American spiritism. It exists everywhere. And they have to you have to reject that. Same thing with Greece. False gods, Grecian paganism.
Bible says in Acts 17.
But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn from all these idols. Turn from believing in false gods and believe in the one true God.
The one that I believe in. Only difference is, man, I'm still chasing that money.
Okay, well, we got to head out.
I told Victor here. You guys are going to Kansanga, so I'm going to take you.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind.
No, no.
If you can go quick, we have to be there by 10:45.
So let me just sign out this and I will put some music out here. So it should take me about 5 minutes. Oh, man, we can do this all day.